And they rest not day and night, crying out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're blessed today on Trinity Sunday to come together on this day when we proclaim the one true faith that has been revealed to us. We have today a very different kind of feast day than we've been accustomed to over the last half of the Christian year, called the Semester Domini, where we have celebrated major historical events in our faith. For example, with the celebration of the Incarnation, the coming of Christ into our human history with the Feast of Christmas, or recognizing his suffering and his death on Good Friday, his resurrection on Easter, and then the Ascension celebration, Ascension Day. Or last week, the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Today, we have a celebration of the one true faith revealed to us by Christ, that God is a trinity of divine persons in one God. And this is the doctrine that we are now celebrating, the teaching or the true faith that we are celebrating, not a historical event, but that we've been given the understanding of who God is. So this revelation given by God is to be received of us in humility. If we are humble, God will bless us. So God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if we want to really know God, we have to humble ourselves so that we can see God reveal himself to us. It is something we receive. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity was not invented by man. It's not the product of centuries or millennium of philosophical thought and effort that finally produces some kind of insight into the ultimate reality. Instead, here, not the ascent of man to find out reality, but instead here, it is the ultimate reality himself, God who is love, who is showing himself to us. And if we are humble, we can receive it. We can receive who God is. So again, it's not like mankind's prideful projection of what reality should be. Instead, it's a humble acceptance of who reality truly is. The ultimate reality, God who is love. In this way, in humility, we can receive what God has shown to us. Now, the biblical witness is beautiful, and we can receive it and see very easily how we can relate to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And one way to look at would be, for example, to look at the theophany, the manifestation of God the Holy Trinity, in the event of the baptism of Christ. When Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, he identifies with sinners. So John is calling for a baptism of repentance. Come be washed in the Jordan River. And Jesus comes not because he needs to be washed, but because he is identifying with sinners. He will so identify with us as sinners that he will take upon himself our sin, that he might take the wrath of God upon him in his crucifixion, that we might be delivered from that judgment and brought into eternal life. So Christ is our Savior in that way. Well, at the beginning of his ministry, he identifies with sinners, enters into the Jordan River. And then as he comes out of the Jordan, the heavens open and a voice declares from heaven, the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove and rests upon him, anointing him for his ministry. So here we see the Father who speaks from heaven, the Son who stands in the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit who descends in the form of a dove. It's very important and integral to our faith. And we, in our parish, have a commemoration of this event in one of our windows. It's the third in the series, the baptism of Christ. It shows the symbol of Christ, the Cairo, and then the glory rays coming down from the corner, the Father speaking, his benediction upon the Son, the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove, resting upon him. That is the historical event, the theophany, God manifesting himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we're very accustomed to relating to the Father and relating to the Son and relating to the Holy Spirit. It's very easy for us to do this in our Trinitarian faith. We relate to God the Father. We say we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. This is our relation to God, who is the creator God. And we see him as the source of all being. We understand him by his revelation that he is the source of all being. From him springs the Son, ever begotten of the Father. From him comes the Holy Spirit, ever proceeding from the Father. He is the source of all, and yet is not from any one. From before all time, from everlasting, from before the beginning, now and forever, God is the source of all that is. God the Father is the source of all that is. And we relate to him in that way. He is for us the Father of lights, the one who has no change, no variableness, the one from whom all good things do come. Every blessing that we receive comes from the Father. Down from the Father of lights, we receive all that blessing and goodness. And so we're used to relating to him that way. We make our petitions to the Father. When we pray as a church, we always pray, we're instructed in the liturgy, which is the foundation of our prayer and the summit of our prayer. We pray to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. So we make our address to the Father. O Father Almighty, O God the Father Almighty. And so we're used to relating to God the Father in this way. There's no difficulty in that, no difficulty in relating to the Father who is God. In the same way, we're very used to relating to God the Son of God, who for our sake and for our salvation became one of us in Jesus Christ. Jesus we proclaim as our Lord, which means our God. We have sworn allegiance to him. You know, we fulfill our baptismal vows. We have forsaken the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him as Lord and Savior. So our allegiance is to him. We worship him as God, for he is true God, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. We have no difficulty with worshiping Jesus as God. He is the God-man, Theoandros. He is the God-made man, the one for whom all honor is due, the one who has the highest name, the name to which every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Jesus is worthy of our worship. And so we, this morning, come as a church to worship and adore, to bend our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to proclaim him as our Savior. There is no difficulty in this. God is fully worshiped in the Son, and we offer our praises to Jesus, who is our God and worthy of our worship. In the same way, we are able to worship God the Holy Spirit. We have no difficulty in this. We believe in one God, and we believe in God the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of life, who with the Father and with the Son is worthy of our divine adoration, of our adoration as one who is divine. And so we worship the Holy Spirit as the one who is leading us into all truth, the one who is now entered into our hearts through the sacraments of the church, the one who has made a temple of our bodies, the one who is sanctifying us, the one who is bringing us into all truth. We worship and adore God the Holy Spirit. And so this morning we are grateful that God has revealed himself to us in this way, that he has shown us who he is, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We worship and adore him as one true God. We have a blessing in this, that as we enter into this divine worship of the triune God, in humility, accepting him as he shows himself to be, that we are now glorified in him. For God has chosen. It is the Father's will that all come to salvation. It is the Son's will to be our Savior, and he has done all things well for this. It is the Holy Spirit's will that we would call Jesus Lord and enjoy the fullness of our redemption. And so God wills that we be glorified in him. And in the fullness of that revelation of God to us, he now invites us to participate in his divine life. And so the Father is bringing us to himself through the Son by the Holy Spirit. And we are now being caught up into the divine life of the Holy Trinity to worship and adore him forever and to be glorified with him at the throne of Christ, at the throne of God in heaven. And so this is now the gift that is given. We are now incorporated into the Son through our baptisms. We are now indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. We are now lifted up into God, into the divine life of the Holy Trinity, where we may worship and adore him forever in the eternal bliss of heaven. So hallelujah, we're blessed today to remember these things, to think on these things, to be sanctified with these things. I think if we made the Holy Trinity the subject of our adoration, a lot of good things would happen in our lives. Bishop Morris, the founder of our province, used to say that when man forgets God, he turns this world into hell. Well, the corollary must certainly be true, that when man remembers God, he brings heaven to earth. And so that's for us now, to contemplate God, to be with him in this life, that he may enter in, sanctify our lives and the world around us, that heaven would touch earth in our own hearts, in our own homes, in our places of work, and all around us, that heaven would come down. I was very blessed to visit Yosemite National Park in one year that was epic water flow. It was one of the biggest pouring, the biggest snow melts, and the falls were just extraordinary. And visiting Yosemite Falls is the largest waterfall in North America. It falls over 2,400 feet from the cliff edge. There's a little cut in the rock, and the Yosemite Creek pushes out. It's quite a volume of water. At peak flow, it's about 2,400 gallons of water a second. So if you're standing there for 15 minutes, over 2 million gallons of water will come off the falls. It falls down in a cascade about 1,400 feet, hits the rocks, falls another couple. And the force of that water makes such a thunder, and it pushes out with a great, you know, wind, a blast of wind, and a mist that comes off that fountain, off that falls. I had done a hike with other men and came back after about a jaunt up at 3,000 vertical feet, maybe 3,500, and then back down. We're all sweaty and had to go back and see the falls. So we came back. There were about 200 people or so that were coming, people from all around the world. You know, it's a destination point for people from all kinds of different countries. So different languages, different tongues were being spoken, different backgrounds. But everybody who came to the base of the falls, that stood there on the bridge, looking up at that thunderous cascade, the water, you know, pushing from the rocks with this wind, it kind of blows your hair back. You can feel the mist. Everybody was looking up in awe at this wonderful manifestation of beauty. The beauty of God and his creation. And they were all looking up in awe, and the predominant emotion in that whole place was one of joy and delight. And there was a great unity in that. Everybody in awe of God's beauty and his creation and joy in these things. They weren't pointing fingers at each other or, you know, there was no division. Everybody was unified as they looked up at this wonder. I really think that's a foretaste of heaven. In heaven, where all kindreds and tongues will be gathered at the throne of God, all united in awe at his beauty, at his glory, there to worship and adore him in his splendor forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.